It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
He was licking me.
What?
He was licking me!
Lunch Hour Reviews.
He had pain till he burst.
You ain't Jadison!
Speeding time. I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, a part of the Fangoria Podcast Network.
For more information about the network, including other programs, how to follow the show, and find past episodes of the Rance Macabre,
please visit Fangoria.com.
No sleep till...
Here in New York, Brooklyn more specifically, we just recently went to the Nighthawk Shorts Festival at the Nighthawk Cinema in Williamsburg. And
so, I had never been.
Yeah, so we wanted to compare experiences. I've been a couple times.
Yeah, I had never been. I'd heard about it and I had wanted to because it combines, you know, my favorite things like movies and food at the same time. Like I could do it at the same time. That seems awesome to me. I really enjoyed it, though. It was very cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was a midnight screening of the Shorts Festival that we're going to talk about a little bit more in depth. But I guess at midnight, it makes it a little tricky to
I didn't get a meal.
A burger and fries.
But I annihilated the tots that I got. That tots and queso. I was like, oh, my God, this is the best thing ever.
So I've been going to the Nighthawk for a few years now. It's a movie theater in the style of the dine-in service at your seat movie theater where you can get a burger and a beer. After 2011, Nighthawk was actually the theater to overturn Prohibition-era state liquor laws banning alcohol in theaters. So you've got them to thank for.
Yeah, you could drink all night, too. That's the other thing. You watch the movie and you drink all you want.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not limited to the evening. They have, like, brunch movies that you can go and see. So they do a lot of classic stuff. In this particular case, we were invited to check out the Nighthawk Shorts Festival for the Midnight series, which were short horror, thriller, suspense movies made by people all over the country and even Canada. And
a Belgian filmmaker as well.
I thought there was one I missed. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's six groups of films. So Midnight being one of them. There was music films. There were certain ones that had very specific things that they were trying to convey. So each day had a different group. So we obviously only went to Midnight because I don't watch any other kind of movies, really. So it was awesome. This had 10 films in it. And this is the fourth festival that they have had at Nighthawk.
I will say their October programming is typically great. For Halloween last year, I did my zombie makeup and I went to a daytime screening of Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, letting you out in the middle of the day, you still got, you know, the rest of the day to sort of hang out and bum around in zombie makeup and weird people out. And that was fun. I dragged Rachel to that. She
did she dress up?
No. Yeah, she did. She did. It was okay. So I was a zombie and she was a chef, a cannibal chef.
Oh,
she walked around with a little brain in a jar.
Excellent.
I love the place because it's the kind of place I would open if I was given an option, like what kind of movie theater.
Because it's small, too. There's not like a million people like wandering around talking and on their phones and stuff.
Yeah, the people there kind of know the deal that like you're there because you love movies.
Right.
And so you don't need to be told twice to turn off your phone. And conversation is never an issue. Even the wait staff are so good at like coming through.
Yeah, they're like ninjas. It's so quiet and they don't disrupt anything. The only thing I would say, and I think it was because there was a lot of like kind of industry people there. There was a little bit of talking next to my husband.
Was there?
Yeah, he sat next to them. He described this man as the loudest breather that he'd ever sat next to. And along with the loud, loud breathing
was
some
always
talking.
Like a gasp. He was so shocked by the content. The collection of short movies were curated by Karen Coleman and Sam Zimmerman of Shudder. And we got lucky in having a pretty long conversation with Sam.
Yeah.
We were hoping to get it all recorded, but it was literally like next door to a noisy bar.
Right, right.
So we just kind of settled for asking our questions and chatting and letting that be that. But hopefully we'll sort of be in touch down the line.
It was awesome how they kind of went about, because I wanted to know, you know, you get all these submissions for this since this is their fourth time of doing it. And I wanted to know, you know, what are they looking for? And so I asked you, what are you guys looking for in a short? And something he said, which to me makes so much sense, and it's where we see so many short films go wrong. He said, I wanted to see a short film that was meant to be a short. It's not trying to drum up money for a feature length film.
It's not pitching you their feature film idea.
Exactly.
In this like trailer equivalent.
And that's where so many short films go wrong. Mm. And so these movies and every single one of them in the midnight section, which is these 10 films, each one really does give you this complete feeling from start to finish. And it is a short film, meant to be short film.
Yeah, it's not easy to establish tone and atmosphere with the short film, but that kind of is the challenge. And I think most of these succeeded on that end. We're going to talk about our favorites specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But before we dive into that, it's worth noting that when we were talking to Sam about Shudder and when he is curating for them, Shudder, different than Netflix, they actually do go after quite a bit of short films.
Right.
And so you don't need like the anthology wraparound of a, you know, Tales from the Dark Side, Tales from the Crypt, Twilight Zone kind of thing. It can just be a short film, and
right.
they've got a whole section on their site for like short films. If you don't have time for a feature, check this out. And yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I'm grateful for that.
Because really what we're kind of left with as far as Netflix goes or anything like that is their general horror audience who doesn't go to festivals misses out on these unless they're in Portmanteau and there's no other way to see them.
I mentioned to Sam, and I guess at the time it was Alexa Harrison who sort of brought us into this project, about the filmmakers coming out to this, and they sort of did an introduction before the screening, and like how cool must it be that, you know, they make a short movie, 99.9% of the time the short movies exist online exclusively,
right?
But here they get to watch it with the crowd and sort of appreciate the, like, you know, what's working, what doesn't, the gasps, that kind of thing.
Right. This, though, wasn't the first festival that they've all been to. A lot of them had gone to other different film festivals.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool, and I wonder how, if I was the filmmaker, if I watched it in Portland and then I watched it in New York, I think it would be interesting to see
how they play differently.
Yeah, one of those films who just has completely done the circuit, and I think I'm going to start off with the big guns. It was probably one of – it was the funniest film that was there. It was the most bizarre thing that I had seen in a really long time.
Okay.
And that was The Procedure by Calvin Reeder.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, now he was the director and the writer of this. It's a strange 4-minute film that I can't even really talk about because it's just so bizarre. This one won at the Austin Film Festival this year. It won Sundance Short Film Jury Prize. This film it's the exact thing that I would expect from someone who's associated with Simon Barrett. Because this particular writer-director was one of the guys in VHS. He's one of the criminals who was playing the tapes.
Okay.
And he's also one of the cops in You're Next.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, I could see that. Okay. Because it's got a sick, wicked sense of humor and this bizarre, like, world that it's created.
Yeah. It's a filthy and hilarious little movie that ends with a bang. So to speak. If we were to say more, we would kind of spoil it. But we're checking out. And a lot of these you can see through their portal if you go to nighthawkshortsfestival.com/2016. You'll find ways to check out all these movies.
Don't watch that one at work.
Not safe for work. Speaking earlier to the challenge of establishing tone in a short film was the short You Will Never Find My Body, directed by Kyle Morgan. And I liked most of it. Actually, you know what? The atmosphere is probably what I liked the most of
it.
Yeah,
yeah. I did. I wasn't blown away by the dialogue. The director was not the writer in this case. But the dialogue was not great. The sound editing had a few problems. And that was kind of not good. But the overall feel of this film was so cool.
Yeah, the description is, a woman is forced to confront the horrors of the deep forest that haunt her every night. And so, yeah, so it's a little bit like, if you remember our conversation on The Hallow, the idea of a doctor in the woods. He's, I guess in his case, he's botanist of sorts,
yes.
or
because he works with the Ireland plant board. What does he do? He does something for the Irish government, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of judging
Department of Agriculture
dead plants and things that need to be taken down, that sort of thing. But in this case, yes, it's a woman who I think there's a lot of like water testing in her case.
Yes.
And so it is the sort of very isolated world sort of surrounding her, mm-hmm. and in more than one sense. And so it's got some great visuals. I really like that. The atmosphere worked most effectively for me in that one.
Yeah, it was great. I think I could have tolerated maybe some of, again, that sound editing and some of the dialogue. The problem is it came second, and it was the first film to actually feature speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just so very abrupt. And I think if it would have been placed differently, I might have had a different feeling about that or a different lenience or tolerance for that. But like I said, the atmosphere was amazing. I almost didn't need any dialogue.
Yeah, I could see that being more effective, maybe.
You know?
Yeah. But so the next couple that we're going to talk about are all women directors. Mm-hmm. And frankly,
there was a lot.
Theirs were the best contributions, in my opinion, to the Short Film Festival. The next one I'm going to talk about is titled "I Want You Inside Me."
Yes,
by Alice Schindler.
So the description for this one, for "I Want You Inside Me," is that an introverted teenager loses her virginity and her boyfriend in one fell orgasm. A sensitive portrait of adolescence that builds to one hell of a FX gag that's both funny and frightening. And it is. That's a great description for it.
Yeah. This was a surprise because it's sort of tonally, you can't guess where it's going.
Right.
It is a coming-of-age story that shares a lot of territory with Mitchell Lichtenstein's 2007 movie Teeth.
Uh-huh.
And that said, I liked it, and the ending makes it worth the watch.
Yeah, and the audience loved it.
Yeah.
It erupted in cheers.
Yeah. I guess we can't really talk about the end, nor should we. But yeah, that was a good one. I thought the ending made it all worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. No, that one was really, really good. And it came right after a really gross out, disgusting film by another woman called Jessica Makinson. The film was called Skins.
You thought Skin was disgusting?
I called it Skins, like the TV show. Yeah, Skin. It was disgusting, Darren. liked it. I thought it was really good, but
you selected this one to be like your favorite.
It was
like
my favorite
that
the
got
whole
your
night.
Vote.
Yeah,
that was a little surprising. I was surprised.
It was
to see
the most horrific one of them. And I was thinking of horror, and to me, like, that was the best because it was disgusting.
Now it's funny, the language we're using about this could be a little misleading because it is not bloody. It is not gory.
No.
It really comes down to like your personal pet peeves.
Yeah. And like, thank God I was done with my tots by that point in time because I wasn't hungry after it.
That's funny. I wasn't that shocked by it.
I was revolted by it.
I
loved it, but I was revolted at the same
time. Right. So, I mean, what you're saying is that it was successful.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it got your vote. It was a really good-looking movie and not dynamic in the sense of, like, location, but the very small snippet of life that it puts on display is not something you've seen before.
It's, no.
It was I thought it was creepy, but I kind of giggled at it. I dug it.
I was so grossed out by it, and I thought it was so great, and it barely needed any words, and you got this disgusting feeling. My stomach was like turning the whole time. It was just like, oh my God, this is so gross. And it was the only film of the night where I actually wanted to look away from the screen.
Really?
Yeah, because I can watch like gore all day long, but this particular grossness was like so gross to me.
Wow. So there.
Because I've seen someone on the train do that in real life. I've seen that actually happen.
Oh.
With their own self.
Okay. I guess someone with like a traumatic lack of protein might resort to something like that, but okay. So that was Skin by Jessica Makinson.
Totally worth mentioning was this great witch story by Maria Wilson, starring Maria Wilson, and it was Venufica. and it's a modern witch story with this totally modern girl talking to her mom on her cell phone. Yet there's a lot of other things going on, and the description is very similar to what I just told you. A modern-day witch prepares for the mystical rite of passage that determines whether her abilities will be used for good or evil. And we find out what the result is, but we actually don't find whether it's good or evil. You know, it's so great because it's a very open-ended short. And I love a short with a zinger at the end. It's one of my favorite things about short films. But you can create a great atmosphere and a great universe if you leave it open-ended like this one was.
Yeah. And this was the open end is suggestive of the beginning of a bigger story.
Right. So, but it didn't feel to me like it was trying to sell me some large film.
Right, right.
Right.
Early in the year, we had The Witch, and witchcraft is popped up quite a bit in other TV shows at the time, and for it to be treated as almost like the family business kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it seemed very, very normal.
Like your rite of passage is entering into this world, and that's kind of what the movie consists of, is someone, you know, working up to the point and coming to terms. And,
right.
You know, it is funny that, like, a lot of it is a conversation between a mother and daughter.
Exactly. And so I think maybe that's why I liked it so much, because it was, like, very much my relationship with my mother. I mean, not exactly, but, you know, I was like, oh, I can relate to this. I really, really like this. And it opens with this girl chopping wood, chopping logs, which I don't, everyone on TV and movies can chop wood and logs like crazy. But I don't think it's that easy. And this finally shows, like, oh, wait, this isn't so easy. It's not just, like, one hack and it's done and over with.
The last one I'm going to talk about, this one got my vote. This was my favorite of the bunch. And set a high bar, because this was at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. This was the first movie in the collection, Consommé, directed by Catherine Fordham. Started off with a bang. The synopsis goes as follows. A young woman's fiercest self takes over to fight for her life when she is attacked. Now, I love this one. For a six-minute movie, it actually builds really nicely.
There was a lot going on. I really, really liked this. It's told in flashback and current time, and it takes place so less than 12 hours probably away from each other.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And it's good. The kicker is great. The actress is awesome in it.
Yeah, there was a lot of subtlety, which I have to imagine, like, in a short film scenario, like, it's crucial, because if she didn't make it work, the movie wouldn't work.
Right, right.
But yeah, this was terrific. I really liked her. To give a little bit more, main character wakes up with some pretty hardcore bruising to her face, and, you know, off the bat, we are expecting that, like, what holy hell did she live through the night before?
Right.
That this is now, you know, these are the effects of the previous night and whatever abuse she might have suffered. And in those flashbacks, we do get glimpses of it. And the turn of it all, I loved.
Right.
It arrives at a little bit of a gross out, and there's a great, like, empowering shock towards the end. I really dug this.
Yeah, I think it was really, really good. I couldn't put it above the Makinson film, because to me that was just so freaking gross. Like, I couldn't even deal with it.
The title Consommé makes a lot more sense. Well, I had to look it up for it to make sense, or rather Mindy did and let me know what it meant. But it makes a lot more sense after the fact. It's one of those where you kind of experience the story and you are best off knowing nothing. And then you kind of arrive at the title and it, you know, it's one more degree of impact.
Right. I think that's kind of one of those things that would be beneficial. You know how in the ABCs of horror, they would throw the title at the end.
Yeah.
And when people come to my house to watch those before, like when they were brand new, we would guess. We would take turns guessing what the letter stood for. And this is one of those where this could have definitely been an ABC of death, because the title would have been a great kicker at the end. So like we were saying before, these 10 films, there's a great variety in them. One of the ones just stylistically to me that really did stand out was An Eldritch Place by Julian Jonio. And this is definitely cosmic horror, Lovecraft, Cthulhu style horror. And to say that doesn't spoil anything. It is what the story is. Julian Jonio is a Belgian filmmaker that studies in Portland. And previously when I had talked about the procedure making the festival rounds, this film and Eldridge Place also made those rounds. I think what really stands out, it was very stylized, very synth music, very sleek kind of looking, even using the same font like The Guest. You know, you really kind of knew what you were in for that.
Yeah, this was a good looking one, and I kind of, I'm a sucker for any sort of looping type story, the sort of suggestion of, you know, this sort of being cosmically stuck in a place and time. Yeah, I dug it. I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I thought it was really great. What I will say is if you're a Stephen King reader, this has a very similar plot to one of his stories. And that's all I'll say because it was a beautiful film. The music was awesome. And it was, you know, a nice cycle. It was a linear story for a cyclical kind of motion of back and forthness.
That's a very nice way to put it.
Yeah. There you go. I liked it. It's just, it really reminded me of a Stephen King story. Whatever.
Which isn't a bad thing. So yeah, so I mentioned the night of, we spoke to Sam Zimmerman of Shudder, and I guess he mentioned that one of his ambitions is something to work on, but collecting all these films for Shudder and having like a Shorts Film Festival 2016 collection so you could go to one place and see all of these. And yeah, that's something to look forward to. I'm excited for... Lately, Shudder's been killing it with acquisitions. A lot of stuff. It's fun to follow their Twitter feed and sort of enjoy like their own excitement for having found these movies. And that was one of my favorite sort of Q&A moments with Sam was when he gets to acquire movies that otherwise would never see the light of day, let alone international distribution.
Right.
And so, you know, Shudder's on top of things on that end.
It's kind of the great thing about horror is finding these little gems and then being so excited you have to tell somebody else about it.
Yeah.
Which previously, I mean, just even like a few years ago, it'd be like, oh, we got this. You would really literally get like almost like a bootleg and pass it around.
Yeah.
And that was how you found some of these things.
Yeah.
And
I bought so this now at it's the flea so, market. Check
yeah,
it out.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I found this crazy film. This is in and everyone. Everyone would pass it around, and it's one of those things about just society in general now that we don't exactly do that. We covet things and keep them to ourselves more than anything, and I think horror is one of the few communities that's still so very sharing and open.
Yeah, I think that's a nice way to put it. A big thanks to Alexa Harrison, who invited us to the Nighthawk and making it all possible.
It was a great night, great experience.
Yeah, would you say you have a new favorite venue? This you're not a big fan of going to the movies on account of
because I hate
the
all
populace.
The other people.
Yes.
Yeah, no. If I had to go to the movies, this would be the one I would go to. The only problem is I am a Manhattanite, and crossing the it's not to say that it's to say that crossing the river is kind of like a bitch, and I don't like to do it.
Okay. I'll definitely be back. I think at this point I'd probably go there at least once every 2 months, maybe more.
I'll be dragging my parents there around the holidays.
Oh, that'll be fun
for
them.
It's a great experience,
yeah.
You know?
Even to see, like, you know, they bring in older movies to screen. Right. And yeah.
I figure there's going to be some awesome Christmas kind of holiday films.
Yeah. I think later in the month, this is what I think of as Christmas movies, but they're playing Die Hard.
And, that is a Christmas movie. That's absolutely true.
And Trading Places also.
Excellent Christmas films. So great. Good.
As for what we've been up to lately, I don't know. I've been really sick and gross, and I'm just starting to feel a little bit better. I went to a float session. Now, this takes a little bit
so
of explanation.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to go.
So a couple... Is it a month ago by now?
It was a while ago.
You found a Groupon for float tanks here in New York City.
Right.
And I've been familiar with it. I occasionally listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, and he talks about it quite a bit. And I'm familiar with the movie Altered States, and so that was the sort of catalyst for this field trip of sorts.
Right, exactly. I thought this would be a fun podcast field trip, but now I have to schedule mine because now I'm so jealous that you went.
Yeah, so it wasn't just recreational on my part. I have really bad sciatica, and I've recorded my experiences before and after, and we'll use that for the episode that we cover Altered States.
Yeah,
but I was excited for it. And I had a great time.
I'm a little nervous.
I wish it was longer. I think the experience takes a little while to set in. It's such an alien concept separate from our daily lives that like, I'm someone who carries a lot of stress and anxiety in my shoulders and back, and my sciatic is kind of a result of that. And so I felt like I could probably hang out in there for 2 hours and be fine.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm afraid of feeling confined and also of turning into like early man, like in altered states. So, you know, I have combined fears, but I think I can overcome it.
Otherwise, I did a lot of catching up with Westworld and American Horror Story, which that I now kind of resent and regret.
American Horror Story, not Westworld though, right?
Right.
Yeah, Westworld is my jam right now.
Yeah.
Because I watch American Horror Story and then I get so sad and disappointed in the whole thing because I had such high hopes for it and then it just turned to dog shit. And so then I recover with Westworld.
Yeah, I think it also, whatever, my headspace lately has just been kind of cynical, and I'm trying to get over that, just whatever, specifically the election. Everything I watch, I seem to linger on the negative, or maybe it's just I'm watching, like, dark shit.
Yeah, maybe recently. We need to watch, yeah, some funny horror.
Yeah, we talked about revisiting horror comedy, but just the same, like, I wouldn't want to taint those movies if, like, I wasn't in the right headspace to see them.
That's true.
So I gotta figure some shit out.
I have been working on this 20th century music piece that it's like a horror movie in itself. Every rehearsal we go to, it's minimalism.
Oh,
and it's just sounds and wash of these sounds. And so I spend now 2 nights a week for like 4 hours at a time in this zone.
This
and
is
so,
the like looping and
yeah,
adding piece.
Yeah, and I'm so exhausted. It's almost hard to even watch any films or anything when I get home because my brain is like, no more. I can't count anymore and I can't think anymore. So yeah, I need to get also in the right headspace. I don't know what's been going on.
I was just watching In the Mouth of Madness, and what you're describing seems like some composer's effort to drive its performers mad.
What's crazy is there's no set time for the whole thing, and because it's very much up to the group that's playing it. So like, we do it relatively quickly. Our group, it's a group of 18 musicians playing the Steve Reich thing, music for 18 musicians, but it's like, it could go on for hours. If some group of people were a bunch of assholes, they would make this like a 4-hour excursion. As always, you can find us on our social media. We are on Twitter and Facebook at The Rance Macabre. We have our website with stuff and things, which is www.therancemacabre.com. Darren puts extra stuff and things on there.
Stuff and things.
And you can also download our episodes straight from the stream it from the website.
Yeah. And on Patreon, we just uploaded part one of our Last House on the Left series. So yeah. Those are exclusive episodes. If you go to Patreon and subscribe, you get an entire catalog of separate content.
Which yeah.
If you've run through all of our stuff, there's always more. And there's, you know, we try and get at least two things up. So the first part is the original 1972 Wes Craven hardcore Last House on the Left. And the one following will be the 2009 remake, which I'm gonna gamble and say this publicly, is a better film.
I think so too, but it's one of those things you whisper to each other.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Rance Macabre, a presentation of the Fangoria Podcast Network,
produced by Darren Rosario and Thomas DeFeo, and executive produced by Ken Hanley of Fangoria Entertainment.
For press opportunities, advertising inquiries, and information about the Rance Macabre,
contact Ken at Fangoria.com.
This is me, Darren, signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks.